Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we've been working in John chapter 4, and surprise, we are still there. I've titled this message, Surprised by God, and the title of this message is Let It Go, Go and Tell. Let it go and go and tell. We're going to move on to verses 27 through 42. So if you have your Bibles, pick up your Bible. We're going to be in John chapter 4, verses 27 through 42. Before we go to God's word, let us come to the Lord. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you're our God. And we pray that our eyes would be open, that we would recognize Jesus, that we would let go of the things that are holding us back and run to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 4, 27 through 42. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. No one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 more months and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for the harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you had not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you have said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Well, last week, I flew back to Illinois with my son. I wanted to visit my dad and my stepmom. We celebrated my dad's 92nd birthday. It was a bittersweet 5 days, filled with joy and filled with sadness. Brian, my son, and I went out to the cemetery together. We remembered both of my older brothers. We brought flowers for my mom's grave, and then we stopped to honor my two brothers. We ended the day by celebrating my dad's 92nd birthday with a delicious meal and pie, and my younger brother and his wife and my stepsister and her son joined in the fun. It was a good way to end the day celebrating my dad's 92 years of life. While on the plane flying home, I finished a book on God's providence. Now that's a big word, isn't it? Providence. God's providence means that God cares for us and will always provide for us. Another word used to describe God's care is that God is sovereign. God is aware of all the things that we face. God knows everything that we go through. God knows all the things we go through. God knows our hurts. God knows our worries. God knows our doubts. God knows our fears. Andrew Murray was a South African pastor, and at one point in his life, Andrew found himself in a very difficult and really unwanted circumstances. And as he was waiting for a resolution to this problem, he made a notation in his journal. And I wrote down, as reading his book, I wrote down what he wrote. And so I'll quote what he wrote. He said, "Let me say I am here by God's appointment, in God's keeping, under God's training, for God's time." Let me say it again in case you're taking notes. Let me say I am here by God's appointment, in God's keeping, under God's training, for God's time. The truth is that we are all here by God's appointment, and we are all in God's keeping. We are all under His training, and we are all here for God's time. The coronavirus that has shut down our nation, our schools, our churches, and so many business, well, it's passed through the providential and sovereign hands of the Lord God Almighty. Why? Well, that's the trillion-dollar question, isn't it? Well, as a pastor, my best idea is that we're all going through this because God is sovereign. Somehow, some way, this must be His appointment for His keeping, under His training, and for His time. Could God be calling us to turn back to Him? Could God be asking us to stop looking for our wholeness in our wealth, in our wisdom, our health, our strength, or even in our government? Could God be calling us to return to Him? This appointment that, and this keeping, this training, this time of pandemic reminds me in a verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Many of you have heard it or read it. It'd be a great verse to read, especially at this time in our lives. 2 Chronicles 7, 14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Well, what a great lead-in to our story today. This unnamed woman at the well is not, it's just not her, it's not just her story, it's our story. It's not just a story about some random woman who met Jesus at the well at high noon. After spending this 10, 12 weeks studying the story, I pray that you can see that it's your story too. We come to the many wells of our world and we seek to be satisfied and filled with the trivial things of this life. Jesus came to save us from the wells of the world. Jesus came to tell us about the one well of eternal, everlasting life found in Him. This is the story of the woman at the well. We freely make this choice every day. Every single day, we drink from wells of the world and we keep coming back to empty promises, and we come to a well of water that springs up to eternal life, Jesus Christ. This was the woman's choice. And this is our choice. It is actually, it's a daily choice, a daily decision to drink from the wellspring of life. In our reading today, we hear the response of the woman at the well. I'm going to read it to you again. It's verses 28 and 29. And that's where we're going to focus on, verse 28 and 29 of chapter 4. "Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?'" Jesus had explained the choices to the woman by telling her about her life and the choices she has made. He then challenged her about becoming a true worshiper. The disciples who had gone into town to buy food show up at the well. They're bewildered and baffled that Jesus, a Jewish man, would be talking with a Samaritan, and not only a Samaritan, but a woman. Jesus not only surprised the woman at the well in this story, Jesus surprised His disciples. They were so surprised by the situation that they stand there speechless. Can we all relate? Aren't we all a little bit speechless about this global pandemic? Why are we going through this pandemic? Why are we struggling so hard? Why are we spending all this time studying about Jesus spending His time in Samaria? Where is Jesus today? Where is Jesus as we go through this pandemic, through the wildfires, through the hurricanes, and through the storms? What can we learn from this woman at the well that will help us get through COVID-19? I'd rather call it COVID-2020. Sovereignty. Remember Andrew Murray's journal? God's appointment, God's keeping, God's training, God's time. I have a good friend. His name's Bobby, and his favorite song is In His Time. I'm not going to sing it to you. You can go to YouTube and look it up. It's an old song, In His Time. My friend Bobby has survived not one, not two, but 5 heart attacks. Bobby is in God's sovereign hands, and so are you. No matter what is happening in your world, God is still sovereign. Well, back to our story. I don't want you to miss the response of the woman at the well. You've been listening to the Seed of Faith brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. If you need prayer or would like to have someone pray for you, you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com and click on the prayer icon, and our prayer team will pray for you. Back to our story. I don't want you to miss the response of the woman at the well. When the disciples show up, the woman drops her jar and runs back to town. The actual word that the gospel writer John uses is aphiemi. I'm going to spell it for you, or at least the transliteration from the Greek. It's aphiemi, aphiemi, and it translates to send away, to forgive, forgiven, or forgiving. Well, a few examples of Jesus using this word aphiemi, well, it's in our Lord's Prayer. Maybe you pray the Lord's Prayer every Sunday, or maybe you pray the Lord's Prayer every day. That would be a great thing to pray. If you need a prayer right now, I would say pray the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus uses the word aphiemi. When Jesus says forgive aphiemi our debts, or forgive our debtors, or forgive our trespasses, or forgive our sins, he says aphiemi. When Jesus heals the paralytic in Matthew 9, that's one of my favorite stories, when 4 friends bring their friend and they cut through the roof, they dig through the roof, they lower their friend down, and Jesus uses the word, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are aphiemi. And think of John 22, verse 34, when Jesus is on the cross. He says, Father, aphiemi them. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Are you hearing this? Please don't miss verses 28 and 29 of chapter 4. The woman leaves aphiemi, her jar, and runs into town. She has a divine appointment with Jesus. Jesus has told her all about her life, her failures, her fears, her frustrations, and now Jesus covers her future. She hears that she is forgiven, and she can begin again. She drops her water jars right there and runs into town. You must understand that these water jars they're vital. They're essential. They're vital utensils in her home. Without the water jars, you cannot go to the well and get water for bathing, washing dishes, cooking, and drinking. To drop your water jars and leave? What is this woman thinking? But this is exactly what we are told. She leaves her water jars and heads to town. There's a legend that says that if you leave your Bible open on your desk, which I do, when I have my desk and my computer, I leave my Bible open every day and I read it every day. Yes, I get life every day out of my word. But if you leave your Bible open, it means you're coming back. Do you know that there's another legend that says if you leave your napkin on your plate, it means don't clean my plate, I'm coming back. Perhaps this woman leaves her jars because she's just experienced the aphiemi, the forgiveness of God. And she runs back into the town to tell everyone, come see a man who has told me everything that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? The woman at the well had a changed life because of her encounter with Jesus at the well. The same thing still happens to us today. When we come to know the love of God found in the grace of Jesus Christ, we understand aphiemi. We understand that we are forgiven and we can have a life, a new life, a changed life. In 1987, Jesus met me at a well. I attended a grace weekend back in northern Indiana. I began to understand that I was forgiven from my old lifestyle choices, and I had a new chance at a new beginning. Friends, I left my jars behind. I started reading my Bible. I carried my Bible in my pickup and took my lunch break at the river and read my Bible. I had a business, and my employees could not understand why I stopped going to the local bar with them after work. They started calling me Bible Man or Bible Thumper. Listen, I encountered Jesus at the deepest, darkest well of my life, and I heard, "I'm forgiven." I had a changed life. I had a deep concern for my employees, my friends, and my family. I could not stop sharing with others what Jesus had done for me. Well, 37 years later, I still cannot stop sharing what Jesus has done for me. Aphiemi, I am forgiven. Aphiemi. The first point for today's message is let it go. Let it go. I don't know what you've done. I don't know where you're at. I don't know you, but Jesus does. And he says, forgiven. Let it go. Put your jars down. And the second point is go and tell. Come and see. The woman at the well left her old life behind, and she ran into town to tell everyone what Jesus had done for her. John says that she went to town and told the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I'd ever did. Could this be the Christ?" The woman's changed life gave her an honest concern for the people of the town. She runs into town and she tells all the men and women to come and see. She returns to the very people who shamed her, who talked about her. I love these three little words, come and see. The words come and see are used several times in the Bible. In Psalm 66, verse 5, it says, "Come and see what God has done, how awesome his works on man's behalf." In Isaiah 66, 18, "And I, because of their actions and their imaginations, am about to come and gather all nations and tongues, and they will come and see my glory." I love in John chapter 1, verse 46, when Philip invites Nathanael to come and see Jesus, and Nathanael says, "Nazareth, can anything good come from there, come from Nazareth?" And Philip says, "Come and see." And I love it when the angels meet the women at the well, or at the grave, at the tomb, in Matthew 28. The angel says to the woman, "He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." Matthew 28:6. So what? Well, let's bring it home for today. Let's bring it home, Pastor Dave. What is the so what for today? What do these ancient words really mean to us in this story? I honestly believe that this story of the woman at the well and her surprise, unexpected visit by Jesus is a story for us today. We are amid a worldwide pandemic shutdown that has closed our churches, our schools, many businesses, and, well, relationships because of isolation. I know dear friends who have lost their spouses, their parents, their siblings, and they have no ability to connect with family. How in the world does one carry on while experiencing such grief and trauma? The woman at the well tells a story of trauma and grief. She goes to the well alone. Kind of sounds like us. She meets Jesus. Jesus meets her there, and he says, "Aphiemi, forgiven, forgive, forgiving, leave your past behind. Let it go. Go and tell. Come and see." There were two Englishmen who lived in the 1600s, Thomas Watson and John Flavel. Watson wrote many books. One of his books, All Things for Good, is an excellent book about God's providence. I've been reading it slowly. In fact, when I read Flavel and Watson, I can only read a little bit and just ponder. When it comes to the providence, Flavel's book, I'll give you the book title. It's The Mystery of Providence, John Flavel, The Mystery of Providence, and Thomas Watson, All Things for Good. That's a great book. It's based on Romans 8:28. But when it comes to the providence of God, both Watson and Flavel are deep and difficult to read. The subject of providence is on every page. They both are brilliant men. They did not write this stuff just because they wanted to impress the boys at Oxford or Cambridge. They were living these truths under unimaginable and pressure and persecution. Can you imagine what it would be like if the government suddenly declared that all pastors who preach the gospel of Christ must immediately be removed from their churches? Well, that's exactly what happened in England in 1662. The church and the state were not on the same page, so the king suddenly ordered the immediate removal of all the conservative Bible-believing pastors from their churches. Kind of sounds familiar. But it happened in 1662. The pastors were no longer allowed to preach and could not come within 5 miles of town. Can you imagine in 1662, they didn't have radio, they didn't have TV, they didn't have internet, and they couldn't come within 5 miles of town. Immediately forfeiting their churches and their own means of support, these pastors were turned out of their towns without provisions for them and their families. It was known as the Great Ejection. Both Watson and Flavel were thrown out of their churches. Watson wrote the book, All Things for Good, to encourage his fellow pastors who were ejected from their churches, and Flavel was one of those pastors who was ejected. His father was also a pastor, and he was ejected. His father was then imprisoned and shortly thereafter died of the plague. Wow, sounds familiar. In 1665, Flavel had to deal with the bitter pill of watching his father falsely imprisoned and impoverished. Not only that, but his own life was in constant danger. He was driven from his church, his home, and forced to live under the daily pressures of knowing that he could be arrested, tortured, and killed at any moment. When Flavel writes his thoughts about not prejudging the works of God when they do not go our way, he knows firsthand what he's speaking about. This was no intellectual exercise for him. It was his life and experience. He lived off the promise and the providence of God, and he knew that God was working in the middle of all of his broken hope. And Flavel had plenty of those. He knew the reality of broken hopes in his own life. The woman at the well had to deal with broken hope. She had to live with poor lifestyle choices. But one day, when she least expected it, Jesus met her during her ordinary day and surprised her. Jesus changed her life forever, and not only did she change, but she went and told everyone. An entire world has been changed by this story and an unnamed woman at the well. I know it's hard to keep persevering and enduring during these challenging times. No one knows when this pandemic will be over. It could be easy to lose hope. But stay in your living word. Keep filling your well with living water from the eternal spring of life eternal, Jesus the Messiah. God is in control. God is sovereign. I have a final closing note. Do you know that the Samaritans were the first people in the New Testament to declare that Jesus is the Messiah? Let me say that again. The Samaritans were the first to declare that Jesus is the Messiah. Surprise? Aphia me. Leave it. Let it go. Forgiven. Let the truth from the living water of the Messiah sink in. Let it soak deep into your soul. Aphia me. Say it with me. Aphia me. I will leave my past behind. I am forgiven. I will let it go. Let us pray. God, you're sovereign. You're in control. We don't understand, but we trust you. We love you. We give thanks that you give us aphia me, you give us forgiveness, so we can let our past go and we can go and tell. Let us be bold in this time and live for you. Living, we live to the Lord, and dying, we die to the Lord. So living or dying, we belong to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to know that God is with you and that God is for you and that God will never leave you. God is sovereign. And his providence will provide. Look up to Jesus. Don't look back to the past and let it go. God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, PastorDave@theSeedChristianFellowship.com. Or you can send a message through the church website. TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center. at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.